And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
All right, we are rolling.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Yeah, he can't believe it. He's shaking his head. He cannot believe it.
Doncic gets in the paint, floats it into Porzingis, knocked out of his hand, saved to Kleba. Kleba back out. Doncic, three-pointer. Bang! Luka Doncic from downtown.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Monday morning. We have all of your NBA action from Super Bowl weekend here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jared Weiss. I am joined, as always, on Monday mornings by my man Mo Tequil. What's going on, Mo?
Oh, not much, man. Good job, Chiefs. We're recording before the kickoff, but I'm pumped. Good job, Chiefs.
So we're recording this at 6:28 p.m. Eastern time, literally as Brady and Mahomes are walking up to the coin toss. And I'm going to say good job, her. That was an epic performance there to open up the game with the sweet guitar solo and America the Beautiful. I mean, that's pretty sweet.
It was nice.
Okay, so let's talk about hoops here. So before we even jump into that, want to give props to Jade Hoy, as always, on the ones and twos with us on Monday to make sure that we're sounding nice and pretty. And I want to make sure that you do not miss out on an exclusive in-depth coverage of this NBA season with The Athletic. So subscribe now and save by going to theathletic.com/dailyding, where you can receive an all-access subscription for just $3.99 a month. And we're going to show you what you get with that subscription, because coming up on today's show, we're doing things a little bit differently for this episode. We had two very interesting news stories pop up on The Athletic this weekend. First, we had Kevin Durant starting to play in a game on Friday night and then getting pulled from the game because of contact tracing. And KD was not happy about it. And so we had The Athletic's Brooklyn Nets writer Alex Schiffer join us on the show. He'll be coming up later, as well as Detroit Pistons writer James Edwards, because he and Shams Charania broke a big piece of news, which was that Derrick Rose has been traded to the New York Knicks. So we'll dive into that later in the show. But first, we're going to talk about some games. And let's talk about the big game from Sunday, which is the Sacramento Kings upsetting the Los Angeles Clippers in the final game of the day, 113-110. De'Aaron Fox with another monster performance, 36 points on 15-for-25 shooting. Tyrese Halliburton continues to lead the charge for Rookie of the Year. He had 13 points, 5-for-9 shooting, 3-for-4 from deep, and 6 dimes in this one. And Lou Will was finally sweet. He came off the bench for 23 points, went 10-for-10 from the line with 5 dimes. So let's just go to the end of this game first. We saw Kawhi Leonard making some big plays at the end, but De'Aaron Fox just kept hitting back, and the Kings were able to outlast them.
Well, I mean, the Kings were just able to continue to answer every time it looked like, okay, now the Clippers are going to win. Okay, now the Clippers are going to take, oh, no, the Kings are back. Nope, every time the Clippers threw a punch, the Kings took it and returned it. And that's something, you know, we haven't seen from this Kings team over the year. And Jared, to just kind of look at it, this has been a monster 4 games for the Kings. They beat the Nuggets. They beat the Celtics. The Clippers, there's another team I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but they have 4 solid wins in just this past week going on this win streak. And, you know, it's something that they can kind of build upon. But it was a really impressive game, not just from De'Aaron Fox and Halliburton, but, you know, I thought Harrison Barnes, although didn't shoot well, was still pretty solid defensively. I thought Marvin Bagley was solid. You know, Rashawn Holmes, 10-10, just being another double-double guy for this team. You know, the Kings are just kind of like clicking right now.
What I really love about this Kings team is that we're seeing a lot of great board presence, that Rashawn Holmes is rebounding well. Marvin Bagley, he had 10 boards in 21 minutes. Harrison Barnes, while he shot 1 for 7 from the field, he had 12 rebounds. He had the most on the entire team. And Buddy Hield had 9 rebounds. So, I mean, just everybody across the board has really been attacking the glass. They've been really great at creating second chance opportunities. In this game, they had 20 second chance points, which is impressive going up against a team that has Ivica Zubac, who, you know, gets, that's pretty much how he lives, right? So I think they've been doing a very impressive job on not only running some clean offense, but also giving themselves a chance to kind of clean out for themselves when they make mistakes.
Yeah, I think they're just kind of in a good spot. They're a good rebounding team. You know, the one critique I might have is I'd like them to see play a little bit faster and get a little bit more in transition, but that's just, you know, nitpicking at this point. Again, just responded every time, and that's a big thing. But this is a bigger concern, Jared, for the Clippers. I mean, Patrick Beverley's out. This is the second time a guard has run right all over them. You know, they lost to Brooklyn when Kyrie went off, and now De'Aaron Fox puts up 36. Like, you know, for all the talk we talk about the defense for the Clippers and things like that, they're struggling to stop point guards. And I know Paul George didn't play in this game, but in general, it still should have been a very winnable game for this team.
I mean, they're starting Reggie Jackson and Luke Kennard, and then Terrence Mann and Lou Williams are their rotation guards. So it's, you know, you're not seeing a lot of names out there that you associate with the lead guard defense.
It's although, the Kings, Jared. They're playing the Kings, man. The Kangs.
They're playing De'Aaron Fox. That's who they're playing. And De'Aaron Fox is going to tear you apart, and that's becoming a regular thing now. So that's been fun to see. Let's take it back to Saturday Night Live, where the Mavs beat the Warriors 134-132. The game before that was a bit of a blowout, so we were hoping that this game would be a little bit more fun. And we had Steph Curry and Luka Doncic combined for 99 points between the two of them. So it was a lot of fun. Steph, he had 57. He's just been absolutely on fire this month, 11 for 19 from deep, 19 for 31 overall. Luka the God, he goes 42 points, 11 assists, 7 boards. He shot 12 for 23 from the field, 7 for 12 from deep. It's rare nowadays that we see Luka Doncic shoot that well. This was just like near perfection from two of the elite perimeter playmakers in the league.
Yeah, I mean, let's start first with Steph. You know, this is his 6 50-point 10+3 game in NBA history, and you know, only two other guys have more than one, and that's Klay Thompson and James Harden. They both done it twice. You know, so 50-point plus 10 threes seems to be a Steph Curry special, and he was just on fire. I mean, you saw that dance, Jared, in the third quarter, that little shoulder dance he did after he hit that 1-3 right by the logo. Like, you know, he was cooking and having fun. And then when you look at it for the Mavs, you know, Luka going off and really not taking several bad threes the way he kind of does during the course of a season. And you saw a much more efficient game from Luka. And this was a big, big win for the Mavs, because like, they're just struggling right now. They desperately needed this one.
Yeah, what's funny is that you had Steph playing pretty much perfectly. You had Kent Bazemore coming off the bench with a great 20-point performance. Even Andrew Wiggins shot 9 for 12 in this game. He was fantastic. You had Draymond Green having his second straight 15-assist game. And he had 6 steals and 4 blocks in this game. I've never heard of a center having back-to-back 15-assist games. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Luka's done it, or maybe Sabonis did it at some point. But I mean,
You mean Jokic has done it.
Did I say Sabonis?
I said Luka.
Oh, Luka. There we go. Well, hey, you know what? One day Luka's going to be playing the 5. We're going to be in super small ball eventually. So we'll see. But yeah, Jokic is what I meant. But you know, you had just so many great performances from the supporting cast of the Warriors that's really been struggling this year. And it's funny because Dallas has kind of been in the same situation, where this team that's kind of devoid of guys that you can really run the offense through besides Luka, they're really counting on everybody else to support them well. And this year it's kind of been a struggle. But in this game, pretty much everyone except for Tim Hardaway was really clicking, especially Maxi Kleber, who had a huge 3 that basically sealed the deal for them.
Yeah, and you know, for the Mavs, they've been dealing with COVID for a long time. They lost 4 or 5 of their key rotation guys for long stretches, you know, because of the COVID protocols. I mean, Maxi Kleber, this is, I think, his second or third game back, you know, and he's just kind of getting his win underneath him. I think this was a important run for them. And first, let's go back to Draymond real quick, because he did all that and went 0-for-2 from the field. Like, this is the thing about Draymond is Draymond impacts the game without scoring. That's kind of what makes him so special on both ends of the court. He can just quarterback your offense and get everything going on both ends. But we'd also be remiss a little bit not to mention that, like, Porzingis had a pretty good game, and this is another guy that's been struggling a little bit for the Mavs, and they needed another big one from him. Overall, man, this was just a hell of a fun game. Like, I don't know if you can ask for a better shootout on a Saturday night.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, let's get to the news. We have a few injuries to go over. DeAndre Hunter, he is undergoing meniscus surgery. The second-year wing in Atlanta has had a real big breakout season, so very disappointing to see that happening, especially just with all the injuries they've been dealing with all their wings this year. So hopefully Atlanta gets fully healthy and we can really see them hit their stride before the playoffs. The Larry Nance Jr. show has been tremendous this year. He's really been having a great defensive year, but he has a broken finger. He's going to be out for about 6 weeks. He is yet another guy that was kind of seen as a trade deadline target for a lot of teams looking to upgrade defensively, who is going to be out until the trade deadline. So that's going to be very interesting to monitor. Speaking of those kind of players, Thad Young is at the center point of trade talks with the Bulls, although I'm sure a lot of guys on that roster are going to be the center point of trade talks, but we'll have to keep an eye on Thad Young. And you know what? We did have a trade, and it was Derrick Rose going to the New York Knicks to reunite with Tom Thibodeau, playing with Tibbs for the third time now. They played in Chicago together, or he played for Tibbs in Chicago, played for Tibbs in Minnesota. Now he's going to play for Tibbs in New York. DSJ is going back to Detroit along with the Charlotte second rounder for this upcoming draft, which is looking to be in the high 30s or low 40s at this point. So we're going to bring on James Edwards, who covers The Athletic with us, to actually break down the trade that he broke. Him and John Serrano broke the trade. Now we are catching up with The Athletic's Detroit Pistons writer, James Edwards, who is reporting with Sean Sarania that the Knicks and Pistons are agreeing to a deal, sending D. Rose to New York to reunite with the one and only Tibbs for what feels like the fifth time in the last decade, with Dennis Smith Jr. coming back to Detroit, and a second-round pick, which is still being finalized. So let's start with there. What are you hearing as far as the second-round pick that is likely going to be agreed to? And mind you, we are talking on Sunday afternoon, so it is possible that by Monday morning, that's already done.
Yeah, no, to go to your Rose and Tibbs thing, has a player ever played for the same coach in three different cities?
I'd be shocked.
I'd be very curious about that. If anybody knew that, it would be you. Yeah, that's why I asked you. I feel like you would know that.
I wonder, Taj Gibson?
Ooh,
right.
Yeah, Taj.
Taj was on all three of those teams. Yep. Yeah,
there we go. Yeah, but as far as the pick, I've been told that it's likely it's going to be the pick that New York owns of Charlotte's for the 2021 draft, which right now is at 40. There is hope that Detroit can get its own 2021 second round pick back, which New York owns, that Detroit sent to Philly in 2018 to get Khyree Thomas in the draft. That Philly has since sent that to New York. So, I mean, that would be the first, it's lining up to be the first pick in the second round. I think that's the hope. But right now I was told it's very likely that it's going to be the one that New York owns of Charlotte, which currently is at number 40.
So Derrick Rose last year was like a pretty hot commodity at the commodity at the trade deadline. Pistons didn't trade him. This year, they made a bunch of other moves that kind of seem like they kind of puts them in the treadmill to mediocrity, basically. With, you know, like the Mason Plumlee signing, you know, like some of the trades that they made, stuff like that. So what exactly, like, why are they trading him now? And do you feel like this is less return than they would have gotten last year if they had moved him, where there's a lot of talk about him being worth a first round pick at last year's deadline?
Yeah. I had heard last year that a deal that was like on the table was like Alex Caruso in a second. So like, I don't know. Obviously, Alex Caruso's proved to be, as of late, a more useful player than a Dennis Smith Jr. But I don't think that the offers were as juicy as people think from what I've been able to gather. And I think one thing that gets lost is last year's front office is different than this year's front office to an extent. Troy Weaver's running the show now. He's brought in a few of his own guys. And last year's team was pushing for the playoffs until around the deadline. And I think their hope was to bring Rose back, to capitalize on him being an expiring contract, to get him to get even bigger return. Because like I said, I don't think the returns were as juicy as people thought at the time. And then this year, like it's complete rebuild mode. Like, I know what you're saying, like, yeah, they signed Mason Plumlee. I mean, they're still the worst team in the league and online to have the top pick, yet they're in almost every game. So
it worked. It did work out in that regard.
Yeah, it did work out. And I think that they're in a position now where they're going to capitalize again. Troy Weaver's calling the shot. So now he's going to capitalize on one of the few assets they do have that isn't a young player or a draft pick and try to get something. So as it stands right now, either whether Detroit gets that Charlotte pick or its own pick back, they will have three picks in the right now, because they also have Toronto's 2021 second round pick, and that pick currently is 39th. I don't think that'll hold, and I think you'd probably agree with that, Jared. Toronto's been kind of on an upward trajectory as of late, but as it stands right now, Detroit has three picks in the top 40.
So what are the Knicks getting in D-Rose? Where is he going to fit into their situation?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious too, because I've loved what I've seen from Emmanuel Quickley. I think Elfrid Payton's been solid. Derrick Rose gives you another scoring punch off the bench. I think for him, if people missed the reporting, Shams and I reported that Detroit and Derrick both mutually agreed that a trade would be best. Detroit's rebuilding. They're going to push even more toward the youth as the season progresses. And Derrick wants to play ball. He wants to play. He wants to have a chance to help a team that's contending for the playoffs. So I am curious to see how many minutes Tim Tibbs uses him, because Dwayne always worked under the assumption that with Derrick and his injury history, he could only play up to like 26 minutes a game at most. It was usually around 22, 24. And we all know how Tibbs loves to use Derrick Rose whenever he has them. So I'm curious to see how that goes. But this is a guy that last year in those limited minutes averaged 18 a game, which 18.1, which was the highest since his last year before injury in Chicago, when he was averaging obviously in the 20s. And then this year he's at 14.4 limited minutes again. Killian Hayes was starting at point guard before he got injured. So, I mean, yeah, there's still a scorer in there for sure. His three-point shooting is better than last year's, I believe. His field goal percentage isn't as high. He had a rough start to the year, but in the games he played, he obviously didn't play all this week. But leading up to that, I think his percentages were going up, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, there's still a scorer in there. He's healthy. He hasn't had any serious injuries since being in Detroit. And New York defensively is pretty solid. So to add another scoring punch, someone Tibbs is familiar with, while also kind of grooming Emmanuel Quickley, I think that's where Rose can step in and help as the team pushes for either a playoff spot or the play-in tournament.
All right, so then last question here is, what's the future of the point guard position for the Pistons now? Is DSJ going to get an opportunity with this team? And then what happens, I guess, when Hayes is healthy and he's ready to go?
Yeah, I've from what I've heard, I don't think DSJ is the prize of this trade. I think getting draft capital is what the Pistons wanted most. I think the Knicks did offer DSJ straight up for Rose, and the Pistons weren't interested in that. So I think that
the guy that was going to go to the G League bubble, they offered straight up for Rose.
Wow. Yeah, that guy.
I'm shocked Detroit didn't take it.
And they obviously work it out, and there's going to be a pick coming back. But I think it is going to be a bit of a trial run. I wouldn't bank on him being back here next year. He has a qualifying offer of like $7.6 million, about what Derrick Rose makes now. Right now, the Pistons will shave like $2 million off the books with that trade. D. Smith is at 5.6, 5.5 or something, 5.8, and Rose is at 7.7 or whatever. So there's going to be obviously a trial run. He'll get his opportunities, but DeLon Wright's still there, and he's been playing pretty well. They still have Saban Lee, who they drafted in the second round. And I think when Killian comes back, he's either going to start or he's going to be the backup to DeLon. So, and that's if Killian comes back. So there could be room for Dennis to show what he can do. Maybe he'll be a reclamation project with another opportunity, kind of like how Josh Jackson has been this year. But I would be very surprised if DSJ is on the Pistons next year.
Hey, Detroit, it's been the home of reclamation projects with Christian Wood, Josh Jackson. So who knows? Maybe DSJ finally gets his opportunity. But either way, you'll have to follow along with James Edwards' coverage of the Pistons. Be sure to stay tuned for more reporting from him and Shams Charania on that over on The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, that's enough out of James. Let's go talk to Alex Schiffer now, who is covering the Brooklyn Nets for us. And Schiff, a couple days ago, Kevin Durant was playing on the court, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. And it was a very bizarre situation. So you had a story up on The Athletic titled, Kevin Durant's Bizarre Exit Amid COVID-19 Protocols Causes Plenty of Confusion. It's a few days later. It's been a few statements. There's been a few tweets. What is going on? What are the next few days looking like for KD and what just happened?
Yeah, the next few days are looking like a lot of time of him in his apartment. To kind of give a quick recap of Friday night, the Nets take the floor against the Raptors. As Steve Nash and his staff are walking out onto the floor, he finds out that Kevin Durant cannot start tonight due to contact tracing because someone that he was around had an inconclusive test. All of a sudden, towards the end of the first quarter, with about 4 minutes left, KD comes out, checks in. First time in his career, he's coming off the bench. And then, you know, does decent, you know, has about 8 points in 19 minutes. I want to say it was 3 for 7 shooting off the top of my head. Also had some rebounds and assists. And third quarter, during a timeout, you know, KD was also in foul trouble. He had 4 fouls in 19 minutes, and he was nearly had his fifth. Steve Nash challenges the call. He gets it overturned. And a few minutes later in timeout, Kevin Durant's told he's got to go back into contact tracing. Kind of looks stunned if you see the camera reaction. Throws his water bottle in frustration. Nets didn't really have a lot of answers after the game. At least Nash didn't. James Harden and Joe Harris were pissed. And then we find out last night before their game in Philly that he is in contact tracing and quarantine for a week. Second time this year that's happened to him because that person tested positive, and it was him being in a car with a team employee three separate times to get testing on Friday, and that employee testing positive with him not having a mask, despite Durant having had the virus in March and the antibodies in his system still.
Yikes. So, well, all right, that's bad enough right there. But what the thing that was so confusing is they have him in contact tracing. It sounded like it was to try to determine his level of exposure. It sounds like what you just said, the level of exposure is pretty clear. So I guess, is it now that he's just in a quarantine waiting to test enough times to confirm that he didn't get it? And then once he clears that level of what's usually a 7-day quarantine, then he's good to come back?
Yeah, so he has to test negative through Friday, and then he can head west with the team for their West Coast road trip, which starts in Golden State a week on Saturday. So he, you know, the NBA health and safety protocols don't discriminate between those that had the virus and haven't had it. And even though he's, again, had the virus, has the antibodies, he still has to go through with all this, which is what seemed to have bothered the players the most when they were talking about it after Friday.
Yeah, so that's the next question is, how did the players react, especially considering this week the big topic was asking all these guys, how do you feel about playing an all-star game? And here we have someone who's, I assume, is going to be an all-star, probably be an all-star starter, who all of a sudden is in this, you know, contact tracing situation after playing in the game. Did any of them reflect on just like the idea that we could be playing an all-star game and suddenly we realize, oh, one of us might be an exposure risk?
Yeah, James Harden and Joe Harris both went off in Friday night's postgame comments. I mean, Harden's been, you know, both, I mean, Joe's been a trooper with the media, having to talk to the Nets beat writers since the team was very irrelevant to now, you know, as a title contender. I mean, he's seen it all. Harden was essentially saying how, well, you know, you've seen teams hold up in their hotels due to contact tracing and due to a positive test, and yet here we are still playing when we were all around Kevin. You know, why is he allowed to play and then get pulled off the court? But obviously we would have all been exposed if there was an issue there, and nothing's happening with the game. You know, Harden was saying how he didn't give the reason, but I think he implicated money when he said, you know, we all know the reason why they're having an all-star game. And Joe Harris essentially said, you know, he feels bad for the people that have to play in the all-star game, because I think it goes back to, you know, this season started with a quick turnaround. These guys haven't really had a long break in a while, and this was their first chance at that, and now it seems like they're being deprived of that. And it doesn't seem worth it to anybody. I mean, you've seen De'Aaron Fox and LeBron's comments, and they were and Harden and Joe were essentially backing that of, like, you know, when is enough going to be enough?
Joe's got to be careful. He's been shooting pretty well. He might accidentally shoot his way into an all-star bid if he's not too careful there, especially with KD out. So that will be very interested to see how the story unfolds. Be sure to check out Alex's work on The Athletic. You can sign up for a good deal at theathletic.com/ding. Alex, thanks as always for joining us. All right, that is going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about the other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network, because we still have your favorite shows like the Athletic NBA show. We've got No Dunks. We've got House of Strauss, plus over a dozen team-specific shows available from some of your favorite Athletic beat writers. And do not forget that if you go follow us on the app, you're going to get notifications for new episodes, and you're going to be able to utilize the podcast episode comment section. And if you're not a member of The Athletic, you're in luck, because you can get all of our podcast ad-free, plus some fantastic writing across all major sports, all for a super low price. Get a subscription today at theathletic.com/dailyding. Never know when these promos end, so you better get there soon. Thank you, as always, for waking up with us, and I'm sure it is not easy for you to do today after the Super Bowl. So, Mo, send them off properly. Ding.